Last night, alhamdulillah, in the Taraweeh, the 11th para was recited, which completed first, the first quarter is the completion of Surah At-Tawbah, and thereafter Surah Yunus is mentioned, the entire surah. The first verse of the 11th para, يَعْتَذِرُونَ إِلَيْكُمْ إِذَا رَجَعْتُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ, concerns those munafiqeen who did not participate in the battle of Tabuk. And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was returning from Tabuk, on the way Allah Ta'ala informed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam that when you will return to Madinatul Munawwara, these munafiqeen will then present their false excuses for not participating and going out for the battle of Tabuk. One group of the munafiqeen had already secured permission not to go for jihad prior to the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's departure for the battle of Tabuk, and they secured that permission under false pretext. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them permission. This is the other group of the munafiqeen who did not initially secure permission not to participate in the battle. So Allah Ta'ala informed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was returning with the Sahaba back to Medina that these people will come and present their excuses. إِذَا رَجَعْتُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ, when you will return to them. Tell them, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't make excuses. We will never believe you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us about your condition. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then see your actions, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will see your actions, and then you will then be returned to that being Allah ta'ala who has knowledge of all the unseen as well as the things which are present, and Allah ta'ala will then inform you of that which you do, the evil ways of yours, Allah ta'ala will then inform you. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was already informed prior to coming back to Medina. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that these very munafiqeen to justify their not participating in the battle, they will take many oaths also just to ensure that their excuses are heard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كَفَعَارِضُوا عَنْهُمْ, that turn away from them. In other words, don't admonish them, leave them to their condition, because they are ritsun, they are filth and dirt. وَمَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ, and their abode is Jahannam, and it is the retribution and payment of that which they had earned, in other words, the evil of their actions. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions about the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that they are the sabiqoon al-awwaloon min al-muhajireen wal-ansar, that from the muhajireen and the ansar, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were the forerunners. They accepted Iman and Islam on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that era and time before the rest of the ummah. So therefore they are the sabiqoon al-awwaloon, and those who follow them with sincerity. Allah declares, radiyallahu anhum wa radu anh, Allah is pleased with them, and they are also pleased with Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala has prepared for them such gardens beneath which rivers flow, in which they will dwell in and stay in forever and ever, and this is the great success which Allah Ta'ala has accorded to them. This verse refutes the false claims of the Shias and the Rawafid, who claim that after the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, most of the illustrious Sahaba radiallahu anhum had left the fold of Islam. This verse completely refutes that claim of the Shias, because Allah Ta'ala has declared that Allah is pleased with them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has knowledge of everything of the past, present and future. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that in the future, these very Sahaba radiallahu anhum, this will be the condition that they will leave the fold of Islam, Allah Ta'ala would never have declared that Allah is pleased with them. So the fact that Allah Ta'ala declares that Allah is pleased with them indicates that what the Shias claim, that most of the Sahaba had left the fold of Islam after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had passed away, is a very false claim and completely inaccurate. Further on, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala then mentions concerning those sincere and true mu'mineen who also did not participate in the battle of Tabuk, and they had no real excuse also not to participate. There were some who really had excuses for which they were excused from participating in the battle, illness or old age. But these Sahaba radiallahu anhum had no excuse. And Allah Ta'ala mentions that these Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were not like the munafiqeen, that they presented false excuses to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to justify that they're not participating in the battle. Allah Ta'ala says concerning them, وَآخَرُونَ عَتَرَفُوا بِذُنُوبِهِمْ, and there are others who admit their sin, their wrong which they had did, they admit it. خَلَطُوا عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَآخَرَ سَيِّئًا, their actions are mixed, some are good and some are not good. In other words, they're not participating in this battle was a wrong from their side and they admitted it. Allah Ta'ala says, Asallahu an yatuba alayhim, there is hope from Allah Ta'ala that shortly Allah Ta'ala will accept their repentance, and Allah Ta'ala is most forgiving and merciful. Such Sahaba radiallahu anhum were 10 in number. The 10 Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they had no reason besides either because of their laziness or because of their unmindfulness, or just that they procrastinated and thought that they will catch up with the army. But when they realized that everybody has gone out and we are still staying back in Madinatul Munawwara, they regretted, but it was too late. The army had already departed quite far away. So anyway, when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned from Tabuk, they did not present any excuses and they admitted their wrong. From that 10, 7 Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they tied themselves with the pillars of the Masjidun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to indicate their remorse and that they were ashamed of what they had did. And it was an indication that they are now making tawbah. And they said that we will not untie ourselves from these pillars until our tawbah is not accepted and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't untie us with his own hands. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned and seen these 7 Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said that I too will not untie them till Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give me an instruction and Allah Ta'ala does not inform me of their acceptance of their tawbah. Upon the revelation of this verse, Asallahu an yatuba alayhim, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam declared that their tawbah has been accepted, and then they were untied, and out of gratitude, these Sahaba radiallahu anhum then presented their wealth as sadaqah in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refused to accept all their wealth as sadaqah, but then the next verse was revealed, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ, that, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, take a portion of their wealth as sadaqah, which will purify them and cleanse them and make dua for them. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted 1/3 of their wealth as sadaqah, and their tawbah was then accepted. With regards to the remaining 3, those from the 10, the remaining 3 who did not tie themselves to the pillars of the masjid, concerning them further on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions that their condition has been deferred, it has been postponed, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not instruct Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly that what will be their condition. They were then boycotted for a period of 50 days. Nobody made salam to them, nobody spoke to them, they were completely boycotted in every aspect, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes their condition, حَتَّى إِذَا ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ, such was their condition that the earth became constrained and narrow upon them, despite it being vast, and their own souls became constricted upon them. In other words, they became frustrated with themselves, and they were convinced there is no place of refuge and safety from Allah Ta'ala but towards Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. After 50 days, then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala then declared the acceptance of their tawbah, and Allah Ta'ala mentions clearly the acceptance of their tawbah in the Quran Majid through revelation, which was a great honor for these three Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that their tawbah was declared by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly in the form of revelation, and they too were then forgiven. So these were concerning those Sahaba radiallahu anhum who were sincere and did not participate in the battle, and they did not make excuses in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for their wrongdoings. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the great conspiracy of the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, that Allah ta'ala says that they have built a masjid, a structure in the name of a masjid, with the objective of harming Islam and the Muslims, and to promote their kufr, and to create division amongst the mu'mineen, and in anticipation for that person who is at war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from before. Reference is made to a person by the name of Abu Amir, who was a Christian monk. His son was a great Sahabi radiallahu anhum by the name of Hazrat Hanzala radiallahu anhu, who is also called Ghaseelul Malaika. That in one of the battles he passed away, and the angels actually bathed him and gave him ghusl. Anyway, this person was staunch in his in his opposition to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to reside in Medina initially, and when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made hijrat, he debated with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered him, but in no way was he prepared to accept the message of Islam. Eventually, he made this baddua, he made this dua that who is a liar from amongst us? May the curse of Allah Ta'ala be upon him, and may he die in a place far away from his family and his friends. Anyway, in every battle which the Muslims fought against the kuffar, he helped and helped the side of the kuffar and the enemy against the Muslims. And at the time of the battle of Hunain, when the Muslims were eventually very victorious, he started losing hope. And then he left Madinatul Munawwara and he went to Sham, which was at that time the stronghold of the Christians, with this intention that he will try to influence the leader of the Christians to prepare an army and go and fight against the Muslims. In the meantime, secretly he was communicating with the hypocrites and munafiqeen of Madinatul Munawwara. And the munafiqeen, we all know, they were an enemy to Islam from within. So secretly he communicated with them and told them to build a so-called masjid, which actually the purpose was to serve as a base to plot and plan against the Muslims and to amass and collect weapons there, so that now when the time comes they can use it against the Muslims. This was the objective of building that masjid. The masjid was built in Quba, and in Quba there was an existing masjid already, which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself had already established at the time of migration. And they built this other masjid nearby on the pretext that the old and the weak and the sickly is difficult for them to go to the existing and original masjid. Therefore, they are building another masjid. And to camouflage their plans, they even called Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come and lead a salat in this masjid, what we can say, to inaugurate the masjid. And but at that time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims were preparing to go for Tabuk. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, unaware of the evil intentions, told them that now at the moment I'm busy, when we come back from Tabuk then we will see. Whilst Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was returning from Tabuk, Allah Ta'ala revealed these verses, wherein Allah Ta'ala openly mentioned that this structure which they had built in the name of a masjid, their actual objective is to harm the Muslims and Islam, and to promote their kufr, and to create division and factions amongst the mu'mineen. And also in anticipation for that person who is at war with Allah and his Rasul, referring to this person Abu Amir, that he was the one who actually instigated the munafiqeen to build this so-called masjid. When this verse was revealed, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent a few Sahaba radiallahu anhum to demolish this masjid and burn it and raise it to the ground, and that is what happened to this masjid, and that masjid also is called Masjid al-Dirar. In reality, it wasn't a masjid, it was just a structure to harm the Islam and the Muslims. So that conspiracy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in these verses. Further on, Allah Ta'ala says to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, لا تقم فيه أبدا. Don't ever stand in worship in that masjid. Why? Because the other masjid, أُسْفِسَ عَلَى التَّقْوَى, which was, its foundations were on taqwa from the very first day, is more worthy that you stand in worship in that masjid, which is the masjid of Masjid al-Quba, which is standing till today, and great merits and rewards are mentioned in performing salat in that masjid. So Allah Ta'ala says, rather now, you should perform your salat and stand in worship in that masjid, which foundations are based on taqwa. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions that some qualities of those who are the close servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mu'mineen. Allah ta'ala mentions quite a few qualities of them. At-ta'ibun al-'abidun. They are those who repent for their wrongs in front of Allah Ta'ala, who worship Allah Ta'ala, who praise Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, who fast, who bow down in ruku and prostrate in sajda and enjoin the good and forbid from the evil, and they are protectors of the limit which Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala had laid down. They don't overstep the limit which Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala had laid down. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the ayat, مَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن يَسْتَغْفِرُوا لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ وَلَوْ كَانُوا أُولِي قُرْبَى. This verse was revealed concerning the uncle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Talib, who protected and looked after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam despite not having accepted Islam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's heart's desire was always that Abu Talib would somehow read the kalima and accept Islam, through which now he will gain salvation in the year after. But in Allah Ta'ala's wisdom, Abu Talib did not accept Islam and died without iman. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned after his death that I will continue asking Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness for my uncle till I am forbidden to do so. Allah Ta'ala revealed this verse that it is not befitting for the Nabi and for the mu'mineen that they ask forgiveness for the mushrikeen, even though they might be their very close relatives, after it has been established that they are the people of Jahannam. In other words, they passed away without iman. Thereafter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped making istighfar for Abu Talib. Allah Ta'ala then mentions concerning that how to inculcate and develop the quality of taqwa within oneself. Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. That O believers, inculcate the quality of taqwa for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fear and consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and stay with the sadiqeen, those who we say are the Allah wala, those who are true in every aspect, in their actions, in their intentions, in their beliefs, in every action of them, and the inward and outward are in conformity with one another. They don't belie one another. The internal and external condition is true and true truthfulness, and they are the sadiqeen. So there is indication that to stay with the sadiqeen and stay in their company, then a person will get the quality of taqwa, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has determined that this is the quality of taqwa through which a person will gain honor by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further on, Allah ta'ala mentions the ayat in which the great virtue and benefit of the knowledge of deen is indicated to. Allah Ta'ala says that it is not, the mu'mineen should not all at once simultaneously go out in the path of Allah Ta'ala for jihad. This is when jihad is farz-e-kifaya, which is a collective obligation, not an individual obligation, that if some go, then the responsibility is not on everyone else. So in those circumstances, all should not proceed. Some should stay behind, لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ, so that they get a deep understanding of deen. So this indicates the importance of acquiring the knowledge of deen. One is that the evil of the kuffar should be crushed through jihad, but at the same time there is a need to establish a sound Islamic structure, a sound foundation on which the building of Islam can rest on, and that is through the knowledge of deen, which will then help the community at large in every aspect, in the running of the affairs of the state also, and in the personal lives of each person also. So the importance of the knowledge of deen is indicated too in that verse. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the surah completes with the ayat, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ, that a rasul has come to you from yourselves, who it is very distressing for him, the difficulties which you face, and he is very eager for good to come to you, and he is very compassionate and kind and merciful to the mu'mineen. Allah Ta'ala says, فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا, that if people turn away and don't accept the message of this Nabi, say, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah is sufficient for me, there is no one worthy of worship but he, on him I have placed my trust, and Allah Ta'ala is the Rabb of the magnificent Arsh. He is the Rabb of that, so I have placed my trust on him. Some Sahaba radiallahu anhum are of the opinion that these were the very last verses revealed in the Quran Majeed. There is difference of opinion which one was the last. Some say it is that verse which is in the third para, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ, that verse, and some say this was the verse. Anyway, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu mentions that a person who recites these last two verses morning and evening three times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ease all his task and all his work. The next surah is Surah Yunus. This is a Makki surah, and as mentioned previously, in the Makki surahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's message is normally revolving around the fundamentals of deen, of tawheed, risalat, and akhirat. And this is also the case in the surah. Allah ta'ala mentions his great creations through which we can understand the great qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the one who has the quality of to be Khaliq, to be the creator, only he is worthy of worship. Allah Ta'ala mentions the creations of the skies and the earth and the moon and the sun and other creations which indicate the great qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of a very distinct weakness of insan. That insan, when he is afflicted with adversity, Allah Ta'ala says, he calls out to us. In other words, then at that time he turns humble and he calls out to us while lying down or sitting or standing, in other words, in all conditions. But Allah Ta'ala says that when we remove that adversity of his, then he continues as if he had never called out to us in any form of distress which had afflicted him. In other words, when he now becomes prosperous, then he forgets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an inherent weakness in man, that in good conditions he forgets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In difficult conditions, then he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the fact that those who deny that the Quran Majeed is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they claim that it is the word of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly mentions that those who say so, let them, Allah ta'ala challenges them, let them bring a surah, which is the like of any surah of the Quran Majeed, in the eloquence of the Quran Majeed, in the beauty and style of the Quran Majeed, and in also the prophecies mentioned in the Quran Majeed. And let them call whoever they want to, besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to assist them in this, if they are truthful, but they will never be able to now produce. This challenge was from that time when the Quran Majeed was revealed until today, this challenge hasn't been taken up, and nobody is able to produce anything the like of it, which is the like of the Quran Majeed in any way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions concerning the Quran Majeed, Ya ayyuhan nas qad ja'atkum maw'izatun min rabbikum wa shifaa'un lima fis sudur. That, O people, a advice and admonishment has come to you from your Rabb, that is the Quran Majeed, which is a cure for what is in your hearts. The Quran Majeed is a cure physically for our physical ailments as well as our spiritual ailments, particularly lima fis sudur indicate to that, for the evil things which are in our hearts, whether it is kufr and shirk, whether it is pride and greed and jealousy and love of dunya or whatever else. And it is also wahuda wa rahmatul lil mu'mineen, a source of guidance and mercy for the mu'mineen. So the great qualities of the Quran Majeed are also mentioned here. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions the incidents of some of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam and the encounters with their nations. The incident of Nuh alayhi salam and his nation is mentioned, and then in somewhat more detail the incident of Musa alayhi salam and his encounters with Fir'aun and also with his own people, the Banu Israel, mentioned. Some incidents concerning that are also mentioned. Towards the end of the parad, Allah Ta'ala then mentioned the incident of the nation of Yunus alayhi salam, whose because of which the surah also has been given the name Surah Yunus. And Yunus alayhi salam, despite all efforts to propagate the message of deen to them, they refused to accept. And after indication from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the time of their destruction has come, he promised that within 3 days punishment will come to them. And signs of punishment were also appearing. So Yunus alayhi salam left the city, the town where he was with these people. And the people then seen the signs of punishment coming, dark clouds and other forms, and they immediately then started repenting and they made tawbah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted their tawbah, and Allah ta'ala then removed that punishment which was approaching them. Allah ta'ala says, there is no town who have brought iman and their iman benefited them. In other words, after the signs of punishment had come, normally tawbah is not accepted. But only the nation of Illa Qawma Yunus, besides the nation of Yunus alayhi salam, they repenting before the actual punishment came, although the signs of punishment were approaching, Allah Ta'ala accepted their iman. This is the story of Yunus alayhi salam. So Yunus alayhi salam, being unaware that his nation have repented, and he thought, and that punishment didn't come, he felt a bit ashamed that how I'm going to face my people. I promised them that within 3 days a punishment is going to come. So he left the town completely and went away. He boarded a ship which came into trouble in the waves of the sea. And the sailors then said, it seems that a slave has ran away from his master, because of which this condition has befallen us. Therefore they threw lots, and the name of Yunus alayhi salam came, and they then decided that he has to be thrown overboard. Either they threw him, or Yunus alayhi salam himself cast himself into the sea, and with the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a giant fish then swallowed him, and he stayed in the stomach of the fish for a period of time. There are different narrations for how long. The common period mentioned is 40 days, and he continued with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. And after that, the fish then took him out on the shores. That incident is also mentioned here. That is why Yunus alayhi salam is also called Nun, the person of the fish, because of the incident of the fish. And it was the great power of Allah Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala kept him protected in the belly of the fish. The incident is mentioned here. And then towards the end of the para, Allah Ta'ala mentions that the truth has come to you from your Rabb. That person who is rightly guided, it is for his own benefit. And the person who remains misguided, that it is to his own detriment. And O Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you are not a watchkeeper over your nation. Your work is to propagate and to give hidayat is only in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who don't accept the message of hidayat, you should not feel hurt in any way, because it is the prerogative only of Allah Ta'ala to grant hidayat. Then one the last, then Surah Hud, one page also was recited of there, that continues into the 12th para, which we will inshallah mention tomorrow.